If you got your Bible, I want to read 9 verses in Ezekiel. And we're going to be talking about living creatures, not dead creatures, living creatures. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Sheba, that the heavens were opened, and I saw a vision of God. Now, I can't help but stop right there, because I wonder if the heavens were to open in our day and everybody had a vision of God, would the church hold the people? Okay, let's go on. And in the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Booz, in the land of Chaldeans, by the river Sheba, and the land of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, holding on. And the brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Everyone had 4 faces, and every one had 4 wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on the 4 sides, and they 4 had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. May God bless the reading of His holy word. Now we come to a time when Ezekiel the prophet was in captivity. And while he was there, the heavens began to open, and he had a vision of God. As this whirlwind began to stir. Now we go forward to Revelations, and we find John on the Isle of Patmos. And there on the Isle of Patmos, John received a similar vision. And God gave John the writings of Revelations to the churches, and to everything else that was going to come forth in our day and time. But the more I read about this, the more I wonder if we really believe Jesus is going to come again. Do we really believe that? We've heard it all of our lives. Let's dig in a little bit and look at what is going on in this time in the life of Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel, for the most part, is believed to be the writer of Ezekiel. However, it took place sometime in the year 592 down to 570 BC, before Christ. Somewhere in that area is when it was written. There was fire in this storm. There were plenty of clouds. A whirlwind was stirring viciously. And all of these things are suggestive of God. They are a mystery. I once worked at public work with a man. He was a nice young fellow, and he had just finished his third year in college. And he came to work for the summer at the same place that I was working. I worked with him every day. Had a chance to talk with him often. He was not a Christian. So I began to talk to him about his soul and his need to accept the Lord. And he told me one day it had come a violent storm. And he lived on the other side of the airport in Winston-Salem. And he came in and he was just all beside himself. And I said to him, I said, "What in the world has upset you so?" He said, "That storm I came through. As I came by the airport, I saw the wind so fierce, it was moving the tail of those airplanes sitting on the runways and in the hangars." And I said to him, "How in the world can you get that excited over something like that, and you don't get excited over your need to know where you're going when you die?" He said, "Well," he said, "you're talking to me about Jesus." He said, "I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus." Now, young man, you don't believe in neither one. If you believe in God and Jesus, and you believe in one, you can't believe in the other. Several years passed. Now, this guy has already finished his college. He's now a doctor at Baptist Hospital. And I'm eating lunch. I've been there to visit somebody in the hospital. And here comes this man up and shook my hand. He said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, I sure do. And I called his name. As far as I know, he still had not met the Lord. Mystery. Judgment. Judgment is coming on this land that you and I live in. Sufferings. In my pastoring over 46 years, a little more than 46 years, some of the finest people, not all the finest people, but some of the finest people I have seen in those churches were the ones that were having to suffer the most before they left this world. Most of them even knew the Lord Jesus Christ. But for some reason, they would call out to me, "Preacher, I trust in Jesus. Why have I got to suffer so much?" Well, I don't know, but this I do know, we will not suffer when we get to heaven. And we need to get everything out of our way. We need to know that we need to be born again of God. And we need to get the sin out of our lives. Now I want to share a verse of scripture with you this morning. Found in Thessalonians. No, I better back over to Acts. And I knew it wasn't Thessalonians. I knew it was Acts. Chapter 2, listen to what it says. I was preaching on this in the first church that I ever pastored. And if I'm standing here this morning, when I read this, the wind shook that whole church. Philip, you've been in that church. Listen to what it says. Suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. That church actually shook. I'm not lying to you. It actually shook. And the people were looking at one another. I guess they thought I had called something in on them to wake them up. I don't know. But what would it take to get us moving, get us excited? I see, since I have now become a member here, I see excitement in a lot of your faces. I see that there's something ahead. Then the Bible says, not only was it enfolded, in other words, it was taken a hold of it. The Bible says it had a character. Living creatures, not dead people, not dead people at all. I came up when I was first saved, there was a lot of discussion over where you should say amen or not. If you want to say amen, you go ahead. I'm not going to hold you back. I'm not going to hold you back. But they're living, they're not dead. They're living creatures. They're not earthly. They come from heaven and they're going back to heaven if they know Jesus, and they're going to reign forever in heaven. They're going to have a kinship with God. You know, we all got kinfolk we wish people didn't know about, probably. Well, let me tell you something, folk. I'm akin to God. And I want to be known as being akin to God. There was a preacher once. It was said that he won a lot of people to the Lord. And in his casket, he had the Bible open, where it says, "It is good that we go out and win souls for the Lord." As I walked up to that casket, there was his Bible open to that verse, and it was underlined. And I said to myself, how true that really was. He was a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was an heir of eternal hope. And then the third thing it says, they had the appearance in verse 5 of the likeness of a man. Now, you know, and this sounds strange. It really does. But at the same time, it is believable. Now, I remember well when in 1970 at Southeastern Seminary, the professor opened the book of Ezekiel. He said, "Read it. Read this first chapter. Read the whole book. And then I want you to report to me what you think about it." Hey, I had never read Ezekiel, let alone know what it was saying. I had never read it. And I read that thing and I said, "Lord, here it is. It is a vision." Well, it was a vision that he had. And the professor couldn't fail me on that because I wrote that. I didn't write everything I should have written, but I wrote that. And he couldn't fail me. It's a vision. Here is the likeness of a man. In just a few moments, we'll look at it a little closer because verse 10 says, that he had the face of a man, and that face of the man meant wisdom and reverence in worship. Wisdom and reverence in worship. The other face that he had was the face of a lion. Now that face was for courage and strength when they went into battle. You need that. Folk, we're in a battle. And if we think this country is just rocking along, you better get another rock thinking because somebody needs to shake you a little bit. This country's in bad shape. Top to bottom. Now we may have somebody in place that can fix it. But will it happen in our lifetime because so many don't care? The third face that it had was the face of an ox. Now, an ox is something that's patient. Have you ever noticed an ox, how patient it is? Now, don't get it stirred up. We had a man once had a bull that weighed 2,000 pounds. 2,000 pounds. And every time I go by there the visit, I'd ask his wife, where he was. Oh, he's out at the pen with the bull. He had a ring at least that big around in the nose of that bull and had a chain on it. And he would be out there in that ring, and he had a stick, and he tapped that bull on its back. And I said to him one day, "Brother, I don't want to come over here and find just a greasy spot where you've been. You don't need to get in there." And his wife said, "Well, the only thing we can do is get rid of it. Ox, it stands for perseverance in service. In other words, it had stickability to it. Are we sticking with the things that we know are of God? Are we doing what we know? Do we have a purpose or a aim? Or is just two or three people making all the decisions? Or do we have a purpose and an aim?" The fourth face was that of an eagle. You don't see many eagles anymore, but at one time you could go to the mountains and see at least one every time. And I used to like to watch the eagle soar through the air. Now that eagle has clear vision. He can see. And it also says that when we get the mote out of our eyes and we can see the way we're supposed to see, we will have power in our testimony again. I pastored a church once. I won't say where it was. We had a man in that church. They told me when I went there, he was well read on the Bible. Well read. I visited in his home, and he was. He was well read. But when he ever come to church, if he ever come, two or three times a year, he would be tipsy. And every time he would say, "Preacher, I want to testify today." Well, I hadn't smelled as much on him as was on him that day. And I said, "Okay, I give you a chance, you can testify." He testified, and I mean he testified. But when he came out of the church, he was so drunk, he could barely stand. I held him by the hand, and I told him, I said, "Don't you never come in this church in that condition again. Don't you never." Didn't see him for many years, and he died. His wife called me and asked me if I'd do his funeral. And his wife came up to me just before I came out in the church to do the funeral. And she said, "He never drank nothing the last 6 months he lived. I hope he didn't. That man tried to drown his tears." He had a young granddaughter that died at 10 years of age tragically. Tragically, automobile wreck. And from that day forward, he tried to drown his tears. Alcohol. It may relieve something, but it doesn't fix anything. I must move on. they began to move. And the Bible says in this vision that they went straight forward. Straight forward. Now, what does that say to you? It says to me they are of one accord. Old man was asked in Sunday school class one Sunday, reckon there's gonna be any Hondas in heaven? This 85-year-old man said, well, sure there is. The Bible says that the disciples came in one accord. They were in one accord. When Jesus prayed in the New Testament, John chapter 17. Now, there are several things that Jesus prayed for there, but he prayed that the church of God might go straight forward in one spirit, doing the will of the Father. Think about that. Pray about that. That we'll go forward in one spirit, doing the will of the Father. Fifth, they had an influence. They were burning coals. There was wind blowing. There was fire. And in Psalms 104, verse 4, Bible says that God made his minister a flaming fire. And in Acts 2, verse 3, it said that the early church was endured with cloven tongues as of fire. Folk, get on fire for God. We can get on fire for a lot of things. When I was growing up, I'd go to Bowman Gray Stadium to the races on Saturday night, and plenty of parking. And now they're parking everywhere. They got to get the police out there to get them out. And the people complaining because the police are there. We got to have somewhere to park. More important. And I know some of those people, I ain't calling no names, but I know some people that were there last night that are not here today. I mean, not members of this church, but people. Burning coals, lamps, lightning. Couldn't be hid. I had the privilege, when I was in Southeastern Seminary, in an archaeological find in another country, they found one of those lamps, and they loaned it to the seminary. And I got to see one of those things. Now, whether it was actually one of those lamps, they said it was. Honestly, you walk up to it and you find yourself bumping your head over something. It was awe-stricken. It was something else. Did they accomplish anything? Yes, they did. If you'll read on in this chapter, you will find that they had wheels. And these wheels were following them everywhere they went. And inside of those wheels were rings And on those rings were eyes. Everything could be seen. Nothing is hid. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing hidden and can't be seen by God today. May not be the wheels, but I'll tell you right now, they're full of eyes, and God has all eye, and He sees everything. And then I'm going to finish up with verse 19. The living ones were lifted up into the heavens. Now, in John 12:32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I believe that. I fully believe that. And we'll be there with the Lord forever. Now I want to mention one more wheel, and I'm going to close. And that wheel is the wheel of grace. Have you ever heard the word grace? G-R-A-C-E. Let me tell you something. When that wheel ceases to work in the world, to move in the world, then the flaming fire of retribution is even nearer to us than we can even comprehend. And I don't know the words that I would need to use to get us to see that the wheel of grace needs to be turning and helping us as we make our decisions from day to day. Now, in just a moment, we'll sing our hymn of invitation. If you have any need in your life, there's an altar here. I will be here. Next week, Brother Justin will be back, Lord willing. You ask yourself in your mind, how do I leave this place? And how will I be when I come back?